Title: Bass Modulation Macro Setups for 90s Rave Flavor Intermediate. Alright, let's build a performance-ready bass rack in Ableton Live that hits like 90s jungle and rave. Solid, unmoving sub down low and absolutely feral movement in the mids. The whole point today is macros. Not 20 automation lanes and a prayer, but a small set of controls you can ride like hardware. Filter screams, wob motion, Reese width, gated rhythm chops, tapish drift, and that crispy rave bite that still translates on small speakers. We'll do it with stock Ableton devices. If you've got Macs for live, we'll use the LFO for clean wob control. If not, I'll give you an alternate path for the rhythmic stuff. This is intermediate level, so I'll assume you know how to create tracks, add devices, and map macros. I'll still talk you through the why, because that's what makes this rack actually usable in a track. First, quick session setup. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Create a new MIDI track and name it Bass Rack. Drop in a simple rolling MIDI idea so you're designing with context, not in a vacuum. Here's an example in F minor, F1, F1, Ab1, F1, Ab1, F1. Use short 8ths and 16ths, maybe tie one note here and there so it's not a robot line. One safety move before we get excited. Put a limiter on the master for now. This is just ear protection while we do drive, resonance, and frequency shifting. We'll remove it later if you want, but for sound design it's a lifesaver. Now we build the rack. Classic D-N-B split. Clean sub plus dirty mid. On the bass track, add an instrument rack. Open the chain list and create two chains, sub and mid. Let's do the SUB chain first. The sub should be stable and boring in the best way. That's what makes the whole drop feel reliable on a club system. Add operator on the SUB chain. Oscillator A. Sine wave. Voices set to 1. Pull the level down a bit, around minus 6 dB, because we want headroom. Then add EQ8 after operator and low pass the sub around 120 Hz. You can do it with a steep low pass curve. The goal is nothing up top to get distorted, widened, or chorused later. Optional but useful. Add a saturator after EQ8. Very subtle, soft sine or soft clip style, with just 1 to 3 dB of drive. This is not for crunch, it's for tiny harmonics so the sub still reads on smaller speakers, without wobbling or changing character. Cool, sub is done. Leave it mostly untouched by macros. Now the MID chain. This is where the 90s rave personality lies. Add wave eatable on the MID chain. Set OSC 1 to a saw style waveform. Set OSC 2 also to a saw. Don't go crazy yet. We'll detune with a macro. Turn on a little unison if you want, 2 to 4 voices, low amount. Add a little glide or portamento, something like 40 to 80 milliseconds, so no changes feel like a played synth, not just a MIDI grid. After wave eatable, add devices in this order: auto filter, then saturator, then chorus ensemble, then frequency shifter, then EQ8, then a compressor or glue compressor. Here's the logic: filter first, because that's your main movement, then distortion, because distortion reacts to what you feed it, then chorus for width and smear, then frequency shifting for that unstable rave weirdness, then EQ to clean the chaos, then compression to keep it in the pocket. Before we map macros, one coach tip that saves hours: gain staging inside the rack matters more than what you do on the master. Distortion is level dependent. If your wob depth changes the input level into saturator, your bass will change tone and volume at the same time, and it'll feel like it's jumping around randomly. So do this: put a utility right before your main distortion stage in the MID chain. In our case, drop utility right before saturator. Set it as a fixed trim, don't map it, just adjust so that when you start driving and sweeping, the saturator isn't getting wildly different input levels. Think of it like calibrating a hardware box so your macros stay musical. Now, macros. Click map on the instrument rack. We're going to build a panel that feels like an instrument. Macro 1 is wob rate. If you have Macs for live, put the LFO device before auto filter in the MID chain. Map the LFO to auto filter frequency. Use a sine or triangle shape. Turn sync on. Now map macro 1 to the LFO rate so you can sweep between musical divisions. A good range is from 1/8 on the slow end to 1/32 on the fast end. That gives you classic wob to frantic stutter energy. If you don't have Macs for live, don't stress. You won't get the same filter wob control as cleanly, but you can still get big 90s movement using gate rhythm and envelope motion. We'll lean harder on macro 6 today in that case. Macro 2 is wob depth. With Macs for live, map this to the LFO amount that's modulating the auto filter frequency. Keep the max range moderate. If you overdo depth, You end up nuking the low mids constantly and the bass disappears every time the filter closes. The sweet spot is motion you feel, not tone teleporting every step. Optional extra. Also map a tiny amount of auto filter envelope amount to the same macro. Keep it subtle. That adds a little snap so each note can feel like it speaks, especially in rolling patterns. Macro 3 is filter drive. On auto filter, choose a character filter type like MS2 or PRD. Those can get nicely spicy. Map macro 3 to auto filter drive, from 0 up to around 12 dB. If you want, also map a small resonance range, something like 0.20 to 0.60. And I mean small. Drive plus resonance can go from rave growl to dog whistle, taking your head off very fast. This macro is your pirate radio knob. When you push it at the end of phrases, the bass steps forward like someone just leaned into the mixer. Macro 4 is reese width and detune. Map this to wavy to blosk to detune, from 0 up to around 25 cents. That's enough for movement without turning into super saw trance unless you intentionally push it there. Also map it to chorus ensemble amount, maybe 0 up to 40%. And here's a crucial DNB rule, width lives in the mids, not the subs. After chorus ensemble, add a utility on the MID chain and turn on bass mono around 120Hz. That keeps your reese wide up top, but tight and punchy where the system actually matters. Macro 5 is PWM or shape move, basically rave motion without changing the wob. In wave eatable, map this to OSC 1 position, or wave eatable position, depending on what you loaded. A starting range like 10 to 60% is often musical, but adjust to the wave eatable you chose. This gives you that alive, talking, shifting tone even if your wob rate stays constant. Then do a scene style mapping trick. Also map a small increase in saturator drive to the same macro, something like plus 0 to plus 3 dB. Now when the waveform gets brighter, it also hits the dirt harder. That's what makes a macro feel like one musical gesture, not a random parameter. Macro 6 is gated rhythm or shuffle. This is a huge part of the old school vibe, that chopped, sampled, gated by the groove feel. The clean option is auto pan as a gate. Put auto pan after saturator in the MID chain. Set the wave to square, set phase to 0 degrees, set amount to 100%. Now it's not panning, it's chopping volume. Map macro 6 to the auto pan rate, with a range like 1/8 to 1/16 to 1/32. When you automate this, you get instant rave stutter patterns without touching me. If you want it more jungle and less perfect tremolo, you can also do a sidechain option. Put a compressor after EQ8 on the MID chain. Turn on sidechain from your kick and snare bus, or even a ghost trigger. Map macro 6 to threshold and release. Try release from 30 ms up to 150 ms. That gives you pump that follows the breaks, and it feels like the bass is living with the drums rather than sitting on top. Macro 7 is rave bite. Add erosion on the MID chain before EQ8. Set it to noise mode. Pick a frequency in the 2 kHz to 8 kHz zone, then start with a tiny amount, like 0.2 up to 2.0. Map macro 7 to that amount. You can optionally also add a touch of saturator drive in parallel with it. This is the cheek sampler air trick. It helps the bass speak on small speakers, but it can get spitty fast. So after erosion, use EQ8 to manage it. If it gets hissy, gently roll off above 8 to 10 kHz, and if it starts stabbing your snare presence, dip a little around 3 to 5 kHz. Macro 8 is build-up scream. On frequency shifter, pick ring mod or freak shift mode. Map macro 8 to the frequency parameter from 0 to about 150 Hz. Be conservative. Frequency shifter is a spice, not the meal, and it can go from rave menace to what dimension is this in 2 millimeters of mouse movement. Now do the performance move. Also map macro 8 to auto filter frequency upward, so when you crank the scream you also get a rising sweep. Optionally map a tiny resonance increase too. This becomes your hands in the air transition control. You ride it into a section change, then drop it back to 0 for the impact. Now, before we start playing, let's add macro safety rails. Go back through each macro mapping and adjust the min and max ranges so you can slam these controls without self-destructing the patch. Drive, resonance, and scream should not be able to self-oscillate unless you very intentionally want that effect. And for width, be careful that you're not widening the low mids too much, especially around 150 to 250 Hz. That range can smear on club rigs even if your sub is mono. Remember, mono low, wide high. Alright, clean up EQ and dynamics. On the MID chain EQ8, high pass around 120 Hz with a steep slope so the mid layer doesn't fight the sub. If it's boxy, dip around 250 to 400 Hc. If it's harsh, try a small notch around 2.5 to 4.5 kHc. After the instrument rack, on the bass track itself, add a glue compressor. Attack around 10 ms release on auto ratio 2:1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks, just to make the whole rack feel glued. Then add a utility after that. Quit that 100%, or pull it slightly down if the chorus is getting too wide. If needed, enforce mono below 120 Hc as extra insurance. Now the fun part, arrangement moves. This is where the stops beating a cool patch and becomes 90s rave energy. Try this over a 32-bar idea. Bars 1 through 8. Intro vibe. Keep width low. Wob rate slower like 1/8. Filter drive moderate. Then, at the end of every 4 bars, do a small scream rise with macro A into the transition. Bars 9 through 16. Drop A. Start switching the gate rhythm. Automate macro 6 to alternate between 1/8 and 1/16 every couple bars. Use macro 2 depth to emphasize little moments right before snare hits, like a quick push then pull. Keep bite subtle. You want the drums to stay crisp. Bars 17 through 24. Variation. Increase width and detune slightly for that reslift. Push the shape move macro so it talks more. Do a half bar scream into fills, but don't live on it, just flash it. Bars 25 through 32. Peak. Faster wob moments, more drive, more gate toggles. And here's a high level trick. Create contrast by occasionally pulling wob depth down to near zero on certain hits. That sudden straight tone moment makes the next wob feel twice as hype. A few common mistakes to avoid while you're getting excited. Don't modulate the sub layer. If the sub wobbles, your mix loses authority. Keep the sub stable and put all the movement in the mid layer. Don't stack huge resonance with huge drive unless you want a whistle. Keep resonance ranges small and treat it like punctuation. Don't chorus below 120 Hz. That's how you get facey low end and weak translation. Don't overdo frequency shifter. Use it mostly for transitions, fills, and callouts. And leave headroom. Modulation creates peaks. Having your bass track peak around minus 6 dB while designing is totally fine. Loudness comes later. Now, a quick practice exercise to lock this in. Build the exact rack, SUB with operator sign, MID with waveatable and the device chain we used. Map 8 macros, rate, depth. Filter drive, width to tune, shape move, gate rhythm, bite, and scream. This audio version is shortened for playback.